the Sandwich Generation with my girl Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck? The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
Yo, 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 what's up? What's up? It's Mitch, and I'm back in this world of podcastery. So today, we have an esteemed guest. Her name is Portia Dillard, and she has a really amazing nonprofit organization. We're going to be talking about her organization as well as how it fits in each of our three segments and into each of those elements of the Sandwich Generation. So, of course, this first segment, we're going to be talking about the babies. And then we're going to be talking about ourselves, and then we're going to be talking about our elders. But to kick us off, Portia, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with this amazing journey that you're on?
All right, you guys. Hello. My name is Portia N. Dillard. I am originally from Michigan, a transplant here in California. We moved out here in 1987 with my older brother. His name was Kareem Jamal Dillard. I'm a graduate. I have my master's degree in public administration. I'm an activist. I love to help the community as much as I can. I was raised middle class. However, once my brother passed away, that's when I realized we were actually poor. Mm-hmm. So what?
Isn't it a shame that that's when it hits you?
Too? Yes, when that's someone when it hits passed you right away there. Is mm-hmm. when I realized that we were socioeconomically disadvantaged. We were very economically disadvantaged. However, I'm just still discovering myself. That's a difficult question for me to answer. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people, when I go on shows, they want to ask you that. And some people are just on point with it. Me, I'm still discovering. There's still things about myself that I'm still trying to know. But I do know what, I love sis, people.
Ain't that a little bit of life be life? And
yeah, yeah.
We keep forgetting that that is life.
Yes.
And what I've learned, a lot of times, the people that are portraying that everything's aight, it ain't aight.
No.
So in this first segment, one of the things I kind of want to think about are some things that people don't consider. In this segment, we usually talking about the kids, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's something very heart-wrenching that happens. And we could start with a situation like a stillbirth or a newborn that dies. Those are two different forms of death.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think your organization could support such a person? You've got to think about the mom. And since we're talking about the kids, you know, sometimes there's a kid that was expecting a sibling and that sibling never arrived. So, again, if I touch on something that's a little too triggering, I believe that triggers are life lessons, but I also believe that they require time. And so if I trigger you, just let a sister know, and I'm going to get to stepping, trust me.
Well, being a woman who's had two miscarriages, I just, because of that, like, I went to, like, a really deep, dark depression. They were both unexpected. They were both wanted. And then once both of them miscarried, I just felt like a loser. I felt like I was in my 40s, so the first one was 40, then 42. So you get to thinking about your age. You're thinking that your eggs are inadequate. I felt like inadequate. I mm-hmm. think miscarriages and all that, they just made me feel inadequate. And I didn't really like how that made me feel.
I think that's common, though. I think a lot of women feel that way, but we don't have that community. And what I love about your organization is I don't think that sometimes people see the layers.
Yes.
There are layers to a person, but there are layers to a woman.
Yes.
We probably have a lot more layers than most do. So I don't think that that's out of order to feel that particular way. But I don't think that we have anywhere we can fall and land and discuss and be like, oh, my gosh, what just happened to me? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was difficult. And then my partner, the first one, I would say wasn't so supportive, but I can't really say he wasn't supportive. I just feel like he was just this brokenhearted as I was. Mm-hmm. So I won't say that. I'll take mm-hmm. that back. It affected both of us. I just thought that it was just going to mainly affect me, but it really affected him as well. You know, it tore him up deeply.
And I think the thing about miscarriage, because unfortunately I suffered one as well, there is no funeral.
No.
There is no way to grieve. The doctor sends you home. And men experience that grief a lot more differently than women do.
And then the pain does not include the excruciating yes. pain.
Yes.
That I rather would have just gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that labor pain you still have to endure
mm-hmm.
just to get the baby, to release the baby out. That's just, and then doing it alone. And it was just a lot. It's a lot.
Has your organization needed to help any parents of small children before?
It was a DJ. I want to say his name is like Super Loke or something like that. His son got killed.
Mm, how old was he?
He was under 18. So yeah. He's about, I don't know, man. Let's say between 13 and 16. He was a young mm-hmm. man who got killed.
If I may ask, was it gun violence?
I want to say it was gun violence.
Yeah, I feel like that's a huge problem in our community that yes. we really need to start
yes.
Addressing and dealing with.
Because in general, in America, it's an issue.
In general,
you know,
in America
is an issue.
Yes,
gun violence is an issue within our country.
It's a huge issue within our country. Mm-hmm. It's a huge issue within our country. But I guess speaking personally, I think it just hits different.
Yeah.
When I look at that face, and that face is so young.
Yes.
And that face is brown like mine.
Yes.
That's just me.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But it is. Gun violence in general in this country is yes. a huge problem.
Yes.
And I definitely don't like, you know, when it turns into a black on black crime kind of thing. Because, you know, there's plenty of blank on blank crime yes. in yes. this country to go around.
Yeah.
But my heart grieves when I see those brown, all faces, but those brown faces, that's for sure.
And then the young boys, you know, especially like mm-hmm. a lot of young men, you know, like we're losing a lot of young men and young boys who are going to turn into men who we need for the future. You know, we need our strong young kings to grow up and be full grown kings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that was the only child that I had to help assist with the funeral. It's mainly mostly like either adults or like seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess my latest one was a gentleman lost his daughter to drugs.
That's another one
deep for me too. And it was a fentanyl overdose.
Yeah.
And she left a son behind.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has to raise his son, but then like his wife passed, his daughter passed, mm-hmm. like a lot of people passed around him, and so he's pretty much the only living grandparent
yeah.
left of all these grandchildren. So that's difficult too, like dealing with overdoses.
Yes,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about fentanyl, though, I think I have my own thought processes about that. I believe it's been demonized, but I do know that cancer patients mm-hmm. really need that help because it's extremely painful.
Mm.
And I do know that people that have been comatose or have had to be ventilated, fentanyl is designed to be used in a medical setting.
Right.
And so my question is, and not necessarily for you, it's a rhetorical question, but if you can answer it, sis, come on.
Okay.
How is it getting on the streets? Isn't it supposed to be a pharmaceutical grade drug? So isn't it supposed to be prescribed by anestheticians and anesthesiologists? So how is it getting to such a degree that it's like almost an epidemic in our societies is what I'm wondering.
I know that's a great question. Everything I think is an agenda, you know, everything has to be an agenda to it.
Yeah.
But because it's an agenda and they brought awareness to it, I'm just grateful there's not as many fentanyl deaths as before, you know, we recognize it as an agenda.
That's true.
I just think it's evil, too, for things, you know, that we consume to be mm-hmm. laced with things that will potentially end us.
Kill us.
You know,
Be
our demise.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I've also know a guy that I went to school with his uncle. And he partaked in the cocaine
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. he met a lady at a bar, purchased it, took it back to the location where he was at. I want to say it was like him and five other people total. And all five of them are dead except for him.
Wow. Wow. talk about a story to
right.
tell.
And then the only reason why, I don't know why he woke up, but he said he was out of it too, but he was the only one that woke up. Mm-hmm. And so he had to like pretty much pull his body to the car, call the police, you know, call 911, have mm-hmm. him come out. But every single one of those people that partake, they end up dying. And they were all like under the age of 25, 26. They were all young. They weren't elders, nothing like that. They were the young adults and they're all gone. You know?
Well, I just like so appreciate the discourse. I think a lot of times we're afraid of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a conversation. It doesn't mean that we're going to have all the answers. But one thing's for sure, we're not going to arrive at them if we don't talk about it.
Of course.
So we're about to go to our next segment in a little bit. But I want to make sure that our viewers and listeners have a chance to know exactly how to reach you. So can you give them your name and your contact information for your org?
Hi, my name is Portia N. Dillard. I am the CEO founder of a bereavement nonprofit called Off the Chain Alliance. We have an Instagram and a Facebook like page, and that's at Off the Chain Alliance. You can also contact me if you want to reach me via email. It's offthechainalliance@gmail.com or my phone number, which is 909-670-2954.
Awesome. So in our next segment, we're going to be talking about ourselves.
Okay.
Maybe thinking about, do you have an advanced directive? You know, are you prepared for, you know, the day we can't stay here forever?
Right.
Some of us want to and some of us don't want to. It's true.
Right.
But in any case, none of us can.
Stay here forever.
That's one thing that we all have in common. We can't stay in this dimension forever.
We will all die.
We will all meet that demise. So we are going to be talking about ourselves. Are we prepared? Are we prepared to help those around us with that? Are we prepared ourselves to meet that day?
Mm.
So we're going to be figuring out some things in terms of how this organization might be able to help you.
Okay.
How we can continue the conversation more, and also just how to make sure that we have some form of self-control and grounding so that we know what to do when this happened. We don't want to be dismayed and bewildered, y'all. We'll be back.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Oh.
And we all got dreams, we all want things, but what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
So we are back, and I was just wondering, Miss Wonderful, Amazing, Portia Dillard. The amazing. So something this awesome as this organization that you've created, it doesn't come out of nowhere.
No.
So what does it come from? What was the soil and what did you water it with? And that includes you.
So why did I start it?
Mm-hmm.
I had an older brother named Kareem Dillard, and he was born with asthma and bronchitis so severely bad that throughout his life, he was always rushed in emergency, stayed on the asthma machine, and then the inhalers. He flatlined maybe 3 times prior to him officially passing.
Mm-hmm.
But 19 years old, January 3rd, 1998, walked out the house, dropped his inhaler before he walked out the door, didn't realize it.
Wow.
We lived in Loma Linda in the hills by Loma Linda University, so he was walking. And as he began to walk, he began to have an asthma attack. And so my brother was, like, odd. He didn't have, like, a driver's license or ID. He kept his Social Security card on him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why, you know, but anyhow, I guess he began to dig in his pockets to try to find his inhaler, but his Social Security card dropped out, and then he was having an asthma attack, and he sat down in these people's driveway, passed out, and died there.
Wow.
So Loma Linda is a 7-day Adventist town, so everything shuts down, like, Friday early, mm-hmm. and then Saturday, that's the Sabbath day, so, like, downtown Loma Linda is, like, pretty much shut down. So with that being said, most people, they don't come out, So the guy whose house that he passed away in his driveway, he said his spirit kept nagging at him, telling him he needs to go outside. Mm-hmm. So when he went outside and he took out the trash, that's when he found my brother dead in his driveway. So they called the ambulance. They rushed him there, but he was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we were coming from Van Nuys. My oldest nephew, Jalen, it was his fifth birthday at the time. We were driving. What was odd was all throughout that week, you guys, which is strange to me, my mom, every day, she said she saw a black hearse, right? Every day. So every day she would tell me, I saw a hearse today. I saw a hearse today. I saw a hearse today. But Friday, she saw a white one, right?
Wow.
And so, but it was making her nervous. She didn't understand. And then Saturday, my brother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, when we were getting ready, because we drove out to Van Nuys with my older sister's friend, Erica. When Erica got on the freeway, for some odd reasons, like the cars kept crowding her, so she couldn't get over onto the junction that she wanted to get to. So we had to go like around. The best part about it was that if we would have been able to go on that junction, my mom probably would have saw her son die dead in somebody's driveway. So it wasn't meant for her to see him.
It
like
was
that.
Not.
Mm-hmm. But anyhow, we finally make it home. It's about 45 minutes. We're talking, getting ready to go to bed because we're tired. And then the doorbell rings. So my mom walks to the door, and there's two detectives at the door, and they were asking her a couple questions, and they asked her if she had a son, and what was his name, and can they see a picture? So she's panicking, you know. I don't really panic. I just more or less need to know what's going on. She's like, what's up? They lied to us and said that he was in a car accident because they couldn't tell my mom that her son was dead. So they were That's like, horrible. Okay, we need you to go to Loma Linda. And at the time, you guys, we didn't have a car. That's why we were driving with my sister's friend to my nephew's birthday party. So, but we were literally around the corner from Loma Linda University. They were like, go to the hospital. He's there. We walked there. She's panicking. I'm not. I'm getting irritated because I don't like to believe that anything bad is about to happen. I don't want to believe that, right?
Right.
So I'm walking. We're walking. I'm telling her to calm down. We get there and we let them know who we are. They put us in a small little 4x4. And she just keeps pacing. I'm trying to relax. So I sit down in the chairs that that are facing towards the door. So I'm sitting there and she's pacing. And then all of a sudden, about 12 doctors just filled this little 4x4 room. Mm. And it was just like, oh, my. And then a doctor stepped up. He was like, hi, my name is such and such. I forget his name. And she was like, okay, okay, okay. You know, my mom's real aggressive. She's like, okay, what? He's like, ma'am.
Well,
you know?
At that point, I would understand
right,
being aggressive.
Like, she's
like,
ugh.
She's antsy.
So I'm like, calm down. Yeah. He's like, ma'am, I tried, you know, I kept trying to revive him. And she's like, what is it? He was like, I'm so sorry, ma'am, but your son is dead. And then it just went ballistic. She started hitting the wall crazy.
Really?
She just spazzed out. They're trying to hold her down. And she's like, I want to see him. And then this one lady doctor was like, no, you can't. So she pulls me to the side. And she was like, I know this is so hard for you, sweetheart, but I need you to identify your brother.
Oh, my God. So you had
like,
to be the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, again, my older sister, she lives in Van Nuys. So it's just me, my mom, and my brother, and Loma Linda. But I'm strong enough, you know. Mm-hmm. So I told her, okay. So as I was walking, she said, is anyone you would like to call? So I said, yes. Gave me her cell phone. Yes, they had cell phones in 1998.
It was big.
She gave me the cell phone. I called my sister, let my sister know what happened. So as I was approaching, we went to the room. He was on a gurney in a black bag. She unzipped it and then pulled it back, and I saw his face. And the only thing that I can think about at that moment was when we were, because my brother was 2 years older than me. So when I was 10 years old and he was 12 years old, I remember he told me that I'm not going to have a long life if my asthma doesn't get any better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to probably die before I turn 20.
Mm-hmm.
So 1998 was the year, his birthday is August the 12th, 1978, but that was the year he was turning 20. And yes, so before he actually turned the physical age of 20, he passed away. So he always knew he wasn't going to live a long life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I looked at his face, he had like a little smile on his face.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it hurts still to this day. Like, I was just crying about him a couple of days ago. You know, it's about to be 28 years. But it was just, I guess that gave me a little bit of peace that I know he wasn't miserable. He didn't suffer because he had a smile on his face. It was just like, he was like, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. You know? And maybe over. Like he knew.
Oh, and he was like, I'm ready. It's over with. I'm done. I surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he looked like, I surrender.
Mm-hmm. And that is just definitely so appropriate in this segment talking about self-care.
Yes.
Because I deal with asthma as well. And sometimes I get busy and then I get on myself. Why didn't you bring your damn inhaler?
For like, real.
What the fuck? Mm-hmm. How could you miss that again? You missed it again?
Yeah.
Like, but I've noticed for myself, when I get hard on myself like that, it doesn't help anything.
No.
It doesn't make anything any better.
No.
The more gentle I am, as though I'm talking to a little 5-year-old or even a little baby, the more prone I am to remember these things. But it is about self-care. We get so enamored of this 3D world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got to mm-hmm. go to work. We got to take care of the babies. We got to mm-hmm. do this. We got to do that. And we forget. We do. We forget the inhaler. We forget the medication. Mm-hmm. We forget the water. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I know for myself, I need just a little bit of water to, if I'm having, my asthma brings up like a coughing episode. And so I think that that might be a wonderful reminder brought to all of us by, you know, the esteemed mm-hmm. Mr. Kareem Jamal Dillard. Did I say his name
you sure
correctly?
Did. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Because I believe that all of life is about lessons, mm-hmm. you know, and if he could just offer all of us that much, you know, to keep up with our asthma, to keep up with our health conditions, to keep up with our mental health mm-hmm. as well. What do you think about that?
I agree. I totally agree. My self-care routine, I like to sleep and
that's good.
I like to get good love made to me, you know.
Oh, self-care. Working out, working out. What? Working out, working out.
I like
out.
Good loving and I love me some sleep. You know what I mean? Like, for real.
That's beautiful. Real. I love that, girl. We need to come back and talk about, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about sex.
Yeah. Sex is good.
Because why we don't be talking about it, though?
I don't know. And that's why a lot of people be so stressed out.
They be so stressed out. They be so prude, girl. They be so prude. It ain't no other word for it. They say some fucking prude. Loosen the fuck up.
Get fucked, huh? Get fucked. Yes. A lot of people don't get fucked enough, but I do.
Okay, we gonna do this. Mm-mm, you coming back. I'm calling it into existence. And that episode, we only talking about sex. We ain't talking about shit else. Okay.
Yeah.
We gonna talk about all kinds of wonderful things.
I'm just gonna be Portia and Dillard, you know what I'm saying? Not the CEO.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to talk about getting your sacral chakra adjusted
a lot, okay? a lot, okay?
I love it. But no, that's part of being a whole human being.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the kids, we don't even talk, most of us, I'm sure you probably did, but most of us don't talk to our kids about sex.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? They don't even know how to operate within their own bodies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then the elders, they don't want to talk about it, but they ain't getting none either. I'll be thinking about that, too. Like, if you locked up in one of these nursing homes, can you even masturbate? I'm sorry. They probably can, but
they got the highest rate of, like, gonorrhea and stuff because they be big fucking in them senior homes.
Girl, I didn't know they was like, fucking up in the senior.
Like, my roommate is 70, about to be 75, and he still be fucking.
Who like, that is?
My roommate. He's an older guy. Fuck? Yeah, and the gentleman still be getting his balls
I bet he do, because it brings life. Wait, what did you say about his balls?
He be getting a ball release. His balls get to release. And I'll be like, dude, like, my balls are tight. They're tight. So he'd be like, what?
I cannot. Okay, focus.
Okay. Back to
you. You know, 70-year-old balls is still some balls, though, okay?
They're probably saggy.
70-year-old balls is still valid.
I mean, he's still a human being. Still got a beating heart, right? Still got a beating heart.
That's what I'm saying. But that's probably what keep his heart beating. No, we forget that. Sometimes sex is life. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. That's my self-care.
Sleep is life. Exactly. But you gotta be careful with the sex, though, because some of these ninjas, you can't trust all the ninjas now.
Oh, I know, but I have mine.
You got it figured out. Yeah, you got it figured out. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You got to have that connection. It's not no free love. I'm not a hippie. It's not the 1960s.
You ain't a not hippie, right?
Okay, all right.
We ain't hippies up in here. Oh,
no
my
free
God.
Love. Okay.
I love it. You are right. But see, I feel like bringing back to the conversation.
Okay.
No, it connects. It just comes full circle. When we get the good loving, girl, when we get it, and then we get some good sleep,
mm-hmm.
then maybe the next day we can remember the fucking inhaler.
Uh-huh. Remember the inhaler.
You know, because Kareem had an inhaler
in his pocket. It dropped out.
And it dropped out.
Man. And I still don't know how.
And but maybe caught up in life. I don't know. Maybe caught up in life.
Why not your pants pocket? Why your jacket pocket? Right. I mean, it's too late now. It was almost 28 years. But that, sometimes I think about that. Like, why would you put it in your pocket, brother? Why not in your pocket, in your pants pocket? Why your jacket pocket? But why carry your social security card, brother? You know, but I'm glad that he had it because that was how they were able to identify
him. Right.
His social security card. You can't get identified with your social security card, just to let you know.
Hey,
Cousin Star.
Oh, hey, she's a store. Yeah. She's a store. She's talking to her cousin store, too.
My cousin store.
So, yes, taking care of yourself is important. And do you feel that this brought you the purpose for this organization that you have?
Of course. My brother really helped me think about my purpose, you know. And there's a lot of things that I want to do with my bereavement nonprofit. So I don't know if people know my program. So I have three programs. I have the Funeral Poverty Program, which assists families, the disenfranchised minority families within the Inland Empire, with up to $250 towards their funeral service. So you can use it for your repast. You can get it for flowers, whatever. I cannot wait to be able to give them a lot more or maybe fully fund like a cremation for them. Mm-hmm. And then we have our condolences program where we create empathy baskets and we have like lavender scented candle, bubble bath, a teddy bear, a box of Kleenex, a flower. Some like warm words to say to them, and like a coffee mug and chamomile tea. And also, too, shout out to Mod Pizza. They gave me some coupons where they can come in and can get a free pizza or a salad on Mod Pizza. So, yeah, I just recognize that you're uncomfortable. You're not sleeping.
No.
Oh, you're uncomfortable. You're not sleeping. You're not eating. Even if you want to eat, you don't really have time to make anything. You're just all over the place. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about it a little bit more coming up in the next segment.
Okay.
But just a reminder, if you want to reach out to us, it's DASANDWICHGENRATION. And that's at gmail.com or hit us up on the website. Coming back, we're going to finish that thought.
Okay.
And get back to it.
All right.
What's up? We back. Now, I kind of want you to finish your conversation, but this is the segment where we talk about the elders. But I do want you to finish up, if you remember, or if you want to continue the rest of what you were saying about the baskets. That's amazing.
Yeah, so we hand families the basket. That's our way of saying our condolences of losing your loved one, because it's a lot. It takes a toll on you. The grief takes a toll on you, not the funeral. It's just the after, you know, the residual effects of the funeral and the person not being around. And then our last program we have is called End of Life Preparation Services. Mm. Now, with that, we do grief groups, and I have this wonderful, wonderful grief support facilitator named Michelle Elise. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then we also have educational workshops. So when we were talking about, am I prepared? There was a point in time that I was. Mm-hmm. I had the, funeral expenses.
Yes.
And it was through McKay Mortuary. And they're really, really awesome people. I signed up under this this gentleman. I forget his name. But anyways, the thing about the, what are they called? The life insurance agents is that you got to make sure that they're honest.
Yeah.
Some of them, a lot of them aren't honest.
That's
just
true.
You're just another way for them to get money in their pocket, right? So I was perfectly fine initially. Then I ran into this one guy that came to a chamber mixer that I was at, and I thought he was legitimate, and he introduced me to this the IUL. So I was like,
what is the IUL?
Just
so
it's like an index. I forget the U and the L.
Is it like a
it's life insurance
thing?
Yeah, it's life insurance, but you know, you got whole life, you got term life, and you have an IUL, right? And he kind of influenced me to like, okay, I was interested, but he made it seem like I couldn't keep my funeral expenses insurance with McKay Mortuaries. I had to cancel it completely. So he contacted the guy, got it through. They had like a big old argument. The guy originally got it through was like, you need to watch out for him.
Yes.
You know, I was just thinking he was saying that to me because he wanted to keep his money. But he was absolutely correct. So in the end, the guy ended up just being a freaking fraud. And so I no longer have insurance, and I have to get insurance again because I should have never allowed him to talk me into canceling it. Just continued on with the IUL, and then that be that. But no, so as of now, no, I'm not insured either.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have my daughter insured as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get her on that, but lesson learned.
Yeah,
lesson learned.
I think that's what it's about. I don't know about you, but sometimes I freeze with the lesson, not remembering it's a lesson.
Yes.
Learn the lesson, yeah, and keep it moving, as
right,
we say.
Right.
Keep it pushing. Keep going because it was a lesson.
Right.
But I do believe that end expenses, final expenses insurance, you know, and at least having an advance directive, you know, knowing if your elder wants to be resuscitated or not, because that's the thing. And that is their right. That's literally their final right. That's their final thing that they're asking for. If they have a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate order, make sure that we are honoring that and following that. And then, you know, making sure that you have, you know, the advance directive so you can know what their wishes are.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there are some people, like my brother, for instance, when he passed away, he had everything done.
That's
like,
good.
It was all done. And he actually talked to me about this before he died.
That's good.
So I want to know if you want to do any things like this with your organization. He had paid for his whole funeral, had it all planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the music. Here's what I want.
Right.
All you need to do is show up. And we did. That's all the fuck
That's
we did
lovely.
Was show up. We didn't do a damn thing else. He said it's hard enough when somebody dies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be rushing around trying to figure out arrangements as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think that's amazing. I that'd be great. I would love to collaborate with different funeral homes, mortuaries, that will just allow us to combine and figure out how we can assist these disenfranchised minority families and getting them set up. Because that's a thing with a lot of people. They just, it's all about the money.
Right.
So my thing is like this, is what my little slogan is like, it's hard for disenfranchised minorities to live, but it's even harder for them to die.
Oh, that's
know?
A good
and
one.
And I just like to
that's
be a solution
one.
To a big ass social issue, which is funeral poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a social issue that we're not even touching on as of yet, but I want to make sure myself and Off the Chain Alliance are spearheading that or just bringing more attention and awareness to it, because it's horrible.
It's absolutely horrible.
It's hard for them to live, and it's just even harder for them to die.
Yeah, I hate the billboards, the fluorescent signs you see when you're driving down the road, donate to such and such's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that this system, this is America.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know how else to say it. It's designed. It's people out here literally working 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5 jobs.
Right.
If you include side hustles. So how to save for something like this?
Right. How do you? But then that's why life insurance, I don't want to negate the fact that life insurance is an important, because our elders, our ancestors used to utilize it, and it helped them out a lot.
It's just
now or less, it's like, how do we allow it to help us now, too, you know?
And I think I do it know helped some with of, some of us with yeah. generational wealth, too.
It did. Mm-hmm. A lot of us to help with generational wealth. And then my grandma. But the thing is, like, my grandma got me insured when I was 18. And before she passed, I spoke to her rep, the life insurance agent. I didn't really like him because I knew he was janky. And in the end,
well, if they janky, you got to leave them alone.
And it was from the beginning. But they've been doing business with him for, like, 40-some-odd years. And I didn't like him immediately because I could just tell his energy. But in the end, like, I didn't. They didn't leave me with any. They took money from my plan.
Whoa.
Throughout my free. So, 18. So, from
Whoa.
When I was 18 years old, my grandma died when I was 38. And all I got is $122 from that policy, because all through those years she was borrowing on it, not telling me, you know, life crisis. And I get it, but what was the whole point of you getting me the policy if I wasn't gonna be able to benefit from it once you pass away?
So you're saying your grandmother was having to pull from it?
My grandmother got it. She was paying for it, but she was also pulling the money from it.
I just think that that's part of funeral poverty.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just the lack of awareness, the lack of understanding, and the freezing that happens.
Right.
I don't think you and I are the only ones that freeze. She probably froze when she was taking it, too. Hmm. By the way, she probably did. It was like, dang. So now I can't do nothing else but take from here. You know, I think that we're not taught about financing and budgeting as much as I would like for us to be.
At all.
Because I know I learned nothing about that from my mother or my father.
Right.
So it is definitely a problem in our community that I think it's part of the funeral poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about making sure that elders know what their plans are for when the end comes? Because for me personally, and I know folk might judge, but I want to be a tree. I saw a company that would turn your remains. You want to be a tree too?
Actually, I want to get compost.
Oh, you want to get compost?
Yeah, I'd rather be soil and you can replenish and I got my DNA all in the soil. Yeah, I definitely want my body to be
compost. Look at Miss Dillard over here.
Composted. I want to
one up in me. Y'all see that?
I want my daughter, to be able to have me in soil so she want to grow some apples.
She can say, there's mama.
Lemon.
There's
flowers.
Right.
Whatever.
But grass. I was talking to my friend the other night, and she was like, I don't know if I want somebody turning me into jewelry, though. I don't think I want to be jewelry either.
I don't care. Well, I'm dead. What do I know what I am? You know? But I just want you to respect my wishes.
She said, I'm dead.
I am.
I'm dead. I don't care. That's my last wish. That's my last wish.
I told my daughter, though, I don't want a funeral. I just told her to whatever I leave you, you take that. And then just do what I ask you to do. I want to be composted and just turn me into soil and grow whatever beautiful gardens or whatever. Or donate my soil to someone. But do not have a funeral. I don't want a funeral.
See, I think it's wonderful that you're discussing this with your daughter. Yes. And I think that we should get that other side, too. What would they want if mm-hmm. something happens? Because yes. it sounds morbid. But we do want to respect everybody's last wishes.
Yes.
It was kind of interesting because yesterday I was thinking of making a video to be played at my funeral.
Oh my God.
My friend said, she said, you too much. I am too much. I'm mm-hmm. extra. But then my friend was like, no, there was a man that did that. He mm-hmm. made a video to be played at his funeral. And I think that sometimes we just don't think, you know, we don't think outside the box. Like, this is your last chance to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is your last chant, like, this is your big hurrah. This is what my life was about. This was my legacy. So in terms of legacy building, how do you think Off the Chain Alliance can contribute to that? People building a legacy for the one who's crossing over.
Only thing I could think of is just collaborating with people. That's what their profession is. That's what their specialty is. So, you know, if you are into final expenses, that if you are, because it's called Earth Funeral, who does like the turn you into a tree, compost and stuff like that. So just connecting and collaborating with those type of organizations, with corporations that, you know, assist. Because I also want to get to know people who do trust, you know. I still want to continue on doing more of my educational workshops because people need to know about trust. They need to know about wills, holographic wills, just different things, you know.
What is a holographic will?
Holographic will, from my understanding, is something that you can write out, you know, your narrative of what, how you want to go out, if you want to leave this behind, you sign it. It doesn't have to be notarized or anything like that. So
interesting.
Yeah, so it's called a holographic will. So it's just different things. I just want to bring awareness to people. So more educational workshops to help the seniors so then they could decide on specifically what they want to do and how they want to do it. And that they know they don't have time, too much time in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So now we need to figure all this out, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Right.
So yeah, just having more educational workshops and then just introduce myself to more people, maybe going to more senior center complexes. And I really wouldn't say convalescent homes. You still want the jazzy older seniors who aren't ready to die, but they know they will soon, but they want to be prepared. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe make it fun for them. Right. Make it in such a way that they want to do this.
Yeah.
And I never want to forget that there are some teens out there that are raised by their grandparents. They don't know how to navigate this shit.
Right.
They don't know what the fuck to do. Like, don't nobody even teach us how to do this
Not
shit.
Not at all.
You know, so I would, gamifying things is what I'm thinking about now, you know, for things, you know, gamify it, you know. How do we bring some interest to it so that it's something that we can discuss across the generations? Do you think that death is a completely morbid subject for us?
No, but it's just, I think people are thinking, because a lot of people have an issue with my nonprofit, because it's like, that's why it's hard for me to get grants sometimes, because it's just like, where does it fall into place, you know? But I think a lot of people just have an issue with being, talking about learning how to die, you know, talk about dying,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And I don't have an issue with it because that's one thing that we all have in common.
All of us have that in
common.
That's
inevitable. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. We're all going to perish. We're all no longer going to be here. But it's just teaching people how to die is the issue mm-hmm. that people probably have.
I love that. Teaching people how to die. Right.
We need to know how to die.
With dignity and integrity.
Yeah. But then that encompasses, you know, make sure you got the correct policy set up. You know, if you have children, if they know how they want you, how you want to be laid to rest, you know, making sure if you do have a trust and everything that's supposed to be up in it so that they don't have to go through probate, you know. So I just really want to teach people how to die. And I don't want it to sound morbid, but that's essentially really, you have to be prepared because mm-hmm. you're leaving a bill behind for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like I learned about the bank accounts doing, is it called payable on death or something like that, where you let your bank know if you pass away that this person can access your bank account without them having to go through all the freaking red tape to get the fucking money,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So all that, I want mm-hmm. to teach people how to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, goodness. I wish you the best in that journey.
Thank you.
Where do you kind of, this is probably an interesting question, but where do you kind of see Off the Chain Alliance in the next 5 years?
I actually will see us bigger scaled and natural burial cemeteries.
Mm.
You know,
tell more about that.
The thing is if I'm gonna keep having complications with grants and getting funding, then I just need to just purchase me some land and then create a natural burial cemetery, see how people respond to that, make it a big thing, and then just keep creating those. So when the family comes to our organization, if we don't have funding, like that type of funding, I can at least offer you a burial space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more different. It's natural in comparison to the regular cemetery. One, you don't have to bury the body 6 feet deep. It doesn't have to be inside of a casket. It can be wrapped in a sheet or they call it an organic leaf. It's way more natural, and your body actually recycles. But with that's natural burial cemeteries, your body recycles. But with regular cemeteries, your body decomposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so pretty much, I'm trying to help people turn right back into the earth.
I think you need to come back and just discuss that. But we gonna talk about sex on one of them coming up,
because
godly. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to give them your deets one more time before we
get out? So, again, my name is Portia Ann Dillard. You can reach me on Instagram at Off the Chain Alliance. We have a Facebook Live page at Off the Chain Alliance. My email address is offthechainalliance@gmail.com. If you want to speak to me and hear my voice, my phone number is area code 909-670-2954.
I want to say thank you so much to Miss Portia Dillard for being here with us and educating us. We'll catch you next time.